Fierce and fearless. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Remember, anything that you miss here, you can catch on stevegruber.com on podcast. We have literally tens of thousands of people that are downloading our podcasts, listening to them all over the world. Ghana was the country that seemed to like the program last week. I don't know why. We talked about Ghana a little bit as the U.S. military was there staging some sorties into Nigeria and elsewhere in Africa. But apparently the people in Ghana love the Steve Gruber Show. And frankly, why wouldn't they? I mean, honestly. All right, so the Supreme Court has not really been terribly controversial for the last year and a half. That's about to change. In fact, it changed already because the Supreme Court has allowed the transgender military ban to go into effect. The Supreme Court allowing the ban, first tweeted by President Trump in a surprise back in 2017, to take effect. It was supported by former Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis as well. And here's what happened. In an unsigned order, it was 5-4, the conservatives, which include Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch. In a 5-4 order, the justices took no stance on the legality of the ban, first proposed by Trump back in 2017, but the action clears the way for it to take effect while lower courts hear additional arguments. Now, the four liberal justices objected to allowing the administration's policy banning most transgender people from serving in the military to go into effect. Now, what does this mean? Let me break it down for you. Most transgender people are now disqualified from military service at all, except for the following: service members who have been stable for 3 years in their biological sex prior to joining the military. This means 36 months after completion of surgery and hormone treatments to convert from male to female or female to male. If you've been 36 months and considered stable by, I don't know who measures that, but whoever measures that would make it okay. Service members diagnosed with gender dysphoria after joining the military can stay in the military if they don't require a change of gender and they remain deployable. That means they remain an asset to the military, therefore to you and I. Now, gender dysphoria involves a conflict between a person's physical gender and the gender in which the person identifies or believes they are. That according to the American Psychiatric Association. So that's how that's being defined. Service members who were diagnosed with gender dysphoria before the effective date of the policy can still serve and receive medical treatment. So there's some confusion here. Transgender persons without a gender dysphoria diagnosis or history can serve in their birth sex, which means if you're born a boy, you get to serve as a boy. You don't get to go play girl in the military, not at this point. Now, of course, a lot of reaction. By the way, as a footnote to that, the Defense Department can issue waivers on a case-by-case basis. The Defense Department can issue waivers on a case-by-case basis. I don't know how that process will work. Now, shortly after the court's order, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeted that the policy was, quote, purpose-built to humiliate brave men and women seeking to serve their country, end quote. And then she tweeted, deeply concerning that SCOTUS is allowing his ban to proceed now, she continued. The court's move is a victory for the Trump administration, clearly. While government lawyers wanted the court to take up the case, they also fought to allow the ban to go into effect while the case plays out in the lower courts. Now, today's dual rulings on the transgender ban allow the controversial policy to go into effect, but also allow the appeals to go forward in the lower court. So it's not done yet. It's not done yet, but it is a big victory at this juncture for President Trump and for former Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, who both said, you know, this is not the way you run a railroad. Basically, we don't need to do some social experiment with the American military, was their point of view. Now, that was one big bit of news out of the Supreme Court. Here's another huge bit of news. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a gun rights case after nearly a decade of total inaction on the Second Amendment. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal because it involves New York City. In New York City, if you own a gun and you want to go to the gun range, legally you can't. You can't do it because legally you cannot take your firearm, put it in a case, put it in the trunk of your car or in the back of your SUV, locked up, unloaded, trigger locked, doesn't matter. You're not allowed to transport that gun out of the city of New York City. And you may realize there are no gun ranges in New York City. So you can't use your gun at all. It's in your home. You can't shoot it. You can't use it. You can't test it. You can't practice with it. You can't do anything legally. Well, the Supreme Court agreed yesterday to jump back into the national debate on gun rights. The justices agreed to consider a petition backed by gun owners groups asking that they strike down New York City's strict rules for carrying legally owned guns outside of the home. The rules do not allow gun owners to transport firearms, as I said, outside the city limits, even to practice ranges or to a second house. You can't do it. Now, by agreeing to hear the case, the court ended a string of refusals in Second Amendment cases dating back to its landmark rulings that go all the way back to 2008 and 2010, which upheld the fundamental right to keep guns at the home for self-defense. This, like I say, this is a very big deal. It means for the first time in a decade, the Supreme Court will take this issue up, because what New York City has effectively done here is outlaw the use of your gun. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you to protect yourself on the street. You can't take it to a gun range anywhere outside of the city to practice so you become proficient. You can't use it for anything. And with the addition of Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh in October, you have four justices who are very strongly committed to a robust Second Amendment protection. The question is how your Chief Justice sits. Now, Chris Cox, the Executive Director of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action, said granting the case sets the stage for affirming the individual right to self-defense outside of the home. And that's key. That's what the Supreme Court decided back in 2008 and in 2010. And now the Supreme Court is coming back in. Oh, and one other thing. The Department of Justice also asking the Supreme Court to make a decision, to expedite a decision on whether or not you can ask on the census forms next year about whether somebody is or is not a citizen. I mean, the Supreme Court went from being not too controversial for a while to touching every third rail of politics, man. It's going to be exciting. It's going to get dicey. And these are very big cases, which we'll talk more about coming up. It is Wednesday. You're listening to The Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.